Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Todd Firm is out in Vegas.
Todd.
He joins us now. Talk a little sports wagering.
Yeah, it's a little bit warm out here. It's Stanley Cup weather, not conducive to triple-digit heat. So thankfully, the weather inside T-Mobile will be a few degrees cooler for Game 2 tonight between the Knights and Caps.
Are they having trouble with the ice or anything? Because they've had issues with that here before.
You know what? Humidity is normally the biggest issue that any city will deal with for their particular sheet of ice. But from reading some of the recaps, I couldn't see if it was a slower sheet in Game 1. But they said it wasn't exactly up to the high standards that we'd seen through the Winnipeg, San Jose, or L.A. series. So we can only hope it's a little bit better tonight and the gameplay slightly truer.
So is it dry today, not moist?
It is indeed dry out here. I think we're at about 25% humidity, nothing close to what you guys have to deal with down there in Music City.
We're at 125%. I saw your tweet, and I LOL'd, but I also thought, I hate you, when you tweeted about the long-suffering Vegas fans who spent 11 months and their hockey fandom waiting for such a moment as this.
You know what, though, Mickey? I mean, to most native Las Vegans' credit, they don't wait 11 months for anything. Most people in Nevada, they wait about 11 minutes, then they get bored and move on to the next thing. So 11 months, you know, as you talk about it in Las Vegas time, is an absolute eternity for anybody that spent more than 48 or 72 hours here.
Yeah, it's like a prison sentence, you know?
Right. Is your Elvis suit ready for Game 2 tonight? You got that in the closet?
I feel like I've neglected the potential costume opportunities to try and take full advantage, whether it's a full gold suit, gold face paint, a sequin jacket, anything along those lines. I feel like I've let you guys down more than anyone else that I haven't partaken in some of those festivities. So just going three-quarter zip, the same thing I've worn every playoff game so far. No reason to change it up.
It's cool, though, that they got the staff from a Medieval Times restaurant to come and do all the pregame stuff.
Well, I mean, you figure, Mickey, with Medieval Times closing down throughout most major cities, those are out-of-work actors and actresses that you could probably acquire for pennies on the dollar. I just wonder if their rate to participate in the pregame festivities here is higher than what NFL cheerleaders command.
I know nothing about anything that you just talked about. Medieval time. All right, so Vegas wins Game 1. That means they're going to win, right? Because the last six Game 1 winners have won the Stanley Cup.
You know, I'm not quite sure what to think. I initially said the Capitals would win this series in six games, but I haven't bought into Vegas throughout the entire postseason. So this would be just another series I'd be wrong on. You look at the way things unfolded, a very sloppy game by goaltending standards from both Braden Holtby and Marc-Andre Fleury. I think you're going to see these two teams a little bit more buttoned up. Of course, the big controversy that came out is Ryan Reeves cross-checking John Carlson for a pivotal goal in the third period. But Washington's going to have to make sure that they keep tabs on the fourth line for the Knights. You can't afford to allow the likes of Thomas Noshik and Ryan Reeves to contribute half of your offensive output. I think the first line for the Caps will be better, but this is a big, big game for Washington. I think Vegas knows they can put a stranglehold in the series if they're able to protect home ice.
Yeah, it's tough when you're giving up goals to the fourth line of an expansion team in the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, exactly. It's not an ideal recipe for success, but I mean, if there's one team we've seen face adversity and kind of battle back so far this postseason, the Knights haven't really had to do that. The Capitals, we look at the run that they've taken, you know, down 2-0 to Columbus, you know, racing that 3-2 series deficit against Tampa. This Capitals team feels a lot different than previous editions, and I'm not sure they'll be phased in the least.
All right, Cavs, Warriors, does LeBron have a chance?
LeBron is going to do what LeBron does, expecting to go for, you know, triple doubles as often as humanly possible. I'm not sure the supporting cast will give him more than a puncher's chance. And when you look at the price for the series, putting up $10 to make a dollar on the Warriors is definitely a lot larger than what we've seen through the last three installments. I believe the heaviest series price leading up to this year's event was the Warriors about minus 270. And we look at the game one number with the Cavs installed as 12-point underdogs. We haven't seen a point spread this large in the NBA Finals since 1991 when Allen Iverson took his 76ers on the road against the Lakers. They did win game one, but they were then ended up losing the next four straight with the Lakers closing them out in five games.
Could LeBron be the MVP, though, even if they lose?
I think LeBron can do that, but the series most likely has to go 6 or 7 games. I just can't see a scenario where LeBron gets the MVP if Cleveland loses in 4 or 5, unless it's a true team effort from Golden State, and we're talking about 15 to 20 points from all of their contributors, Draymond, Steph, Clay, KD, and anybody else wearing a Golden State jersey.
Where does LeBron end up next year?
If you believe what odds makers have hung at betonline.ag, the 76ers are the odds-on favorite at 3-2, although that, of course, subject to change given the GM's burner accounts on social media. That may not be an attractive recruiting technique. You look at Cleveland, they're the second favorite at a price just less than 2-1. The Rockets check in at third at 5-2. And the Lakers, that team a lot of people have him penciled in for, kind of lurking around at 5.5-1. I think he leaves Cleveland, but I'd be lying if I said I had an inside track on where he ends up calling home.
Is there a better chance LeBron is in Philly next year than their GM, Brian Colangelo, if you had to set those two head-to-head?
Yes, I would say there's a much better chance that LeBron is there than Brian Colangelo. If you're going to attack one of the key cornerstones and building blocks, not name Ben Simmons on that team, it's probably not going to bode all too well.
Todd Furman, our guest, at Todd Furman on Twitter. Tiger Woods back in action, the Memorial coming up this weekend. What kind of pricing are we seeing?
Yeah, when you look at Tiger, I think, you know, the numbers, given his performance, the most recent iteration, have come down a little bit. I've seen some odds makers, and I think it's a bit ridiculous, hang him in that 15-1 range just to kind of eliminate some of the liability. I'd say a truer price, probably in that 20-25 range. But when you look at the leaderboard, I mean, a lot of the biggest names in the sport there, Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy, Jason Day, Justin Rose, Justin Thomas, and Jordan Spieth, along with Ricky Fowler, all priced between 12-1 and 18-1. Should be a fun golf tournament if any of these guys are in the final groups come Sunday.
The BetOnline.ag crew have put out conference championship odds. Of course, they got Alabama picked to win the SEC, but what's a value play or two for the SEC?
Is this where I have to come on because we're 4 months before the season and try and say that Jeremy Pruitt is going to be everything Tennessee needs and they're going to have a chance to contend for the SEC East?
I'm not asking you that at all. I just meant, like, you know, a South Carolina, a good value
play. I dare you.
Yeah, I was going to say.
You did just say that, though. We have it on tape.
You want to make college football news at the end of May?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. We'll go on record here with bold predictions that won't come true. We look at the SEC East, and I think it really is a two-horse race, at least for me right now. And South Carolina and Georgia, that week two matchup in Columbia, could really go a long way in determining who ultimately wins that half of the draw. Alabama, as we know, as you said, Mickey, odds on favorite, a little better than even money. Georgia at 3-1. I think Georgia probably, for me, most bang for your buck. You look at that roster up and down, extremely talented, and a one game setting, should they meet Alabama in a conference championship, 3-1 going to be a little bit better than what you get on the money line.
It's the latest Triple Crown. I know we're a few days away, but how you seeing that right now?
Justify listed as the odds-on favorite right now at -125. So if in layman's terms, that's putting up $1.25 to make a dollar coming back. Audible going to be the second favorite. I have to think morning line-wise, we'd be talking about him right in that 7-2 range. But not to get too bogged down in the weeds, for those folks that want to try and have a little bit of skin in the game and want to back Justify in his quest for the Triple Crown, you're going to get much better odds if you bet Justify in a place or show pool, because there's so much recreational money that comes flooding in on Justify to win that oftentimes you'll get the same price for him finishing second or third as he will on top. And there was a perfect illustration of that taking place in the Preakness. He paid about 280 to win and 280 to finish in the show spot.
How concerning is it, though, that it looked like Justify, had he gone another 15 yards, would have been caught?
I think you do have to worry about it. I mean, this horse didn't race as a two-year-old, has been extremely taxed over the past 2.5-3 months. You know, didn't break its maiden until late February. So you do wonder what it's got left in the tank to run 1.5 miles, one of the longest distances that any of these horses will ever run. So there's some real concern, and, you know, pun intended, I think there is a reason to justify picking any other horse in the field.
Hey, now.
On that, we'll let you go.
I appreciate it. It's almost time to start tailgating out here in the 100-degree heat.
All right, good luck.
Thanks, guys.